He's not there. Ron and Hermione scanned the staff table too. Though there was no real need, Hagrid's size made him instantly obvious in any lineup. He can't have left, said Ron, sounding slightly anxious. Of course he hasn't, said Harry firmly. You don't think he's hurt or anything, do you? Said Hermione uneasily. No, said Harry at once. But where is he then? There was a pause, then Harry said very quietly so that Neville, Parvati and Lavender could not hear. Maybe he's not back yet, you know, from his mission. The thing he was doing over the summer for Dumbledore. Yeah, that'll be it, said Ron, sounding reassured. But Hermione bit her lip, looking up and down the staff table, as though hoping for some conclusive explanation of Hagrid's absence. Who's that? She said sharply, pointing toward the middle of the staff table. Harry's eyes followed hers. They lit first upon Professor Dumbledore, sitting in his high back golden chair at the center of the long staff table, wearing deep purple robes scattered with silvery stars and a matching hat. Dumbledore's head was inclined toward the woman sitting next to him, who was talking into his ear. She looked, Harry thought, like somebody's maiden aunt, squat, with short, curly, mouse-brown hair, in which she had placed a horrible pink Alice band that matched the fluffy pink cardigan she wore over her robes. Then she turned her face slightly to take a sip from her goblet, and he saw, with a shock of recognition, a pallid, toad-like face and a pair of prominent, pouchy eyes. "It's that Umbridge woman!" "Who?" said Hermione. "She was at my hearing. She works for Fudge." "Nice cardigan," said Ron, smirking.
"She works for Fudge,"
Hermione repeated, frowning.
"What on earth's she doing here, then?"
"Dunno." Hermione scanned the staff table, her eyes narrowed.
"No,"
she muttered.
"No, surely not."
Harry did not understand what she was talking about, but did not ask. His attention had just been caught by Professor Grubblyplank, who had just appeared behind the staff table. She worked her way along to the very end and took the seat that ought to have been Hagrid's. That meant that the first years must have crossed the lake and reached the castle, and, sure enough, a few seconds later, the doors from the entrance hall opened. A long line of scared-looking first years entered, led by Professor McGonagall, who was carrying a stool on which sat an ancient wizard's hat, heavily patched and darned with a wide rip near the frayed brim. The buzz of talk in the great hall faded away. The first years lined up in front of the staff table facing the rest of the students, and Professor McGonagall placed the stool carefully in front of them, then stood back. The first years' faces glowed palely in the candlelight. A small boy right in the middle of the row looked as though he was trembling. Harry recalled fleetingly how terrified he had felt when he had stood there, waiting for the unknown test that would determine to which house he belonged. The whole school waited with bated breath. Then the rip near the hat's brim opened wide like a mouth, and the sorting hat burst into song.